Good afternoon. This is a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Check us out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Also, if you miss a show, you can check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. And you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I would love to hear from you. That's the way people win the giveaways. We got movie tickets. We got gift cards. We got books. We got CDs, all types of things. So follow on the social media. And remember, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com is who you're going to email to win the prize. Well, today I am speaking with somebody across the pond, as they say. He's from the UK, London, UK, and his name is Jake Isaac, singer and songwriter. I think this is him on the line. Jake?
Hey, Joy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. I should say, like bruv, how are you, right? Or something like, what's the lingo? Tell me the lingo, Jake.
Yeah, something like that.
No, seriously. Okay, so what would I say? Like, if I was your boy, what would I say, like, when I saw you?
I feel like, yeah, what's going on, bruv?
Okay. So what's going on, bruv? Yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. That's natural. That's really natural for me.
You sound great.
Wow. So thank you. You made my job really hard today. I mean, I was really not liking you, and you know why? You have too many good songs. Too many good goddamn fucking songs. I was like, what am I going to play for the opening? You know, like, what am I going to play? Like, is it going to be like Gold? Is it going to be Remember? You know, maybe it should be Wake Up. You know, people are waking up. You know what I mean? I was like, damn this dude. But anyway.
You're very kind.
So you have a lot of duets on the album. You're playing with NDRE.
Yeah.
You got Tertia May. You got another guy on there. Let's start. Why are you a musician and not a semi-pro basketball player? Because I read somewhere that you thought you were going to be like semi-pro. So you got skills like that?
Do you know what? Yeah, but I think I was more in love with the music than I was with basketball. And so, yeah, you kind of follow what you love. You go with where you feel the love, you know? And that's how it happened.
You have a lot of love on this album. You know, as a guy, as a black man. No, seriously, it's very intimate. How were you concerned? Were you worried? What made you go this way? Or are you normally, like, really emotional?
Yeah, I think stereotypically as a black men are known for not being too emotionally literate. Well, especially over here in the UK. I don't know how it is over your side of the pond, but... And I think over the years, I've realized my main outlet for my emotions has been creative in song. And that's literally what's caused my journey as a musician to flourish, because I've been particularly recent. And it's cool with that, because I feel like in the context of, say, a relationship or whatever, I said to someone the other day, you know, I think men might be more emotional than women, but they just don't talk about it.
No, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that, because I totally agree. Trust me, when I've had to deal with breakups or, like,
right.
certain issues, you guys, like, freak out. Like, if a guy breaks up with a woman that he really loves or gets dumped, he is, like, hardcore
right.
emotional for, like, it could be years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could be years. Like, he could see
yeah.
a girl and be like, yo, that's her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Think, I do think that the, like, when I think about it, I think, well, women, traditionally, they're used to communicating their emotions more than men. So actually, there would be some deficit because we're out of practice in terms of communicating how we feel. Whereas women, I mean, you're pros, you know, and so you've got one up on us. And so it doesn't
right.
make sense why so many guys, some of my mates, have just not been literate in that area, you know. But hey, thank God for creativity, yeah.
Thank God. Now, you mentioned that your dad was one of your influences. How did he influence
yeah.
you with the music?
Yeah, so he's always been massive on social justice. He's a man of the cloth, and he's just been – he's one of those – he's a Christian, and he's not weird. He's not weird about it. He's not legalistic or – but rather he's really about people. He's to the point where he's like been awarded an OBE by the Queen just for his social justice stuff over here, and he's like he's an incredible guy, and I'm really privileged to have a present dad who's like that. He used to be a Rastafarian, and I think his journey and his ethos and the things he's taught me to prioritize and value, especially as a man, as a black man in Britain, I feel like that has really shaped my sense of priority, both creatively and I suppose in terms of psychologically and what I aspire to in life, you know. So it's not so necessarily in the music, although he was a massive fan of Paul Simon's Graceland album, which was in itself socially radical. But he's been a massive influence in me in terms of the shaping of my paradigm and what I focus on in music and creatively.
Now, you're a father, yes? What are you going to pass on to your children?
I think what's important for me to pass on, particularly to my son, is the importance of communication and emotional literacy. And more importantly than that, the fact that, above all, relationship is key. Relationship is... some would argue the only thing we take from this life to the afterlife, and just how we value relationship and communication in that, not just in terms of a love relationship, but relationship with work colleagues. And if you have good relationship with people, it can literally take you from one end of your career to another end of your career. I want to try and teach my children the value of people and living beyond themselves.
Now, when did you figure out you had a good voice? Or did somebody tell you, or were you like, yo, I got it going on? I mean, like, it was just there, like you were, like, you know, the popular dude. When did that happen?
No, so it hasn't actually happened yet.
Okay, well, you know what, Jake, today, let me just put it out into the universe.
Man.
You have a good voice, and you're a good songwriter. I just said it today.
Oh,
Joy
man.
Keys. February 17th, 1 p.m. United States time. There it is. It's written.
I'm here
it's
for
done.
It. I'm here for
it's
it. Thank
it's
you
done.
So much, my dear.
But seriously, so when? How did it start? How did it start?
I used to be a drummer, and particularly over here in like music industry, music world over here, like. Once upon a time, if you're a singer and you're black in this country, you're automatically kind of put into a box of being urban, and you either have to sing like an R&B singer particularly when I started out, some of my peers, some of my friends were like Ed Sheeran, JP Cooper, Michael Kiwanuka, and we're all guys with guitars in our hands. And I think I really got stuck with, well, I can't sing like, I don't know, Jodeci or whoever, or Omarion, or I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think I just learned to prioritize the song rather than the voice. in the hope that people kind of will be okay with the voice and tap into the song, you know? So my journey's been one of finding my voice in what I'm writing and what I'm communicating rather than literally my voice. So in a way, I'm being honest, I don't think I'm that much of a singer. I think I'm unique in terms of maybe how I sound and how I sing, but I don't think of myself too highly in that regard.
Well, I'm going to play Gold, and this is from your album Honesty, and I'll let the audience tell you whether or not, you know, you're a good singer or not. You know,
that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
Gold, I see you like gold. Look back how far we've come. Please don't let go. Gold, no good on my own. Yours, I'll be only yours if we get through this storm. 'Cause I see you like gold.
You were singing with India Arie. How did you make that hook up?
Yeah.
That's a massive, like, opportunity, chance. Like, what? How did that connect? How did you guys connect?
So if I'm really honest, I kind of just reached out. I think we knew some of the same people on social media, and I reached out to her via social media, which I've never done in my life. I reached out and... And then I left it. It's like someone, it was in lockdown. I was like, listen, everyone's in lockdown. Live your best life. You know what I mean? Because the world is a little bit upside down. And I reached out and then I left it. And 2 days later, I, to my absolute surprise, I got a message back from her saying, hi, I've listened to all of your music. I've watched all of your videos online. What shall
we
do?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You slid into the DMs of India Arie, and she was like, I love... Okay, look, people, there it is. India Arie listened to all your shit, okay? I think you can get a little confidence here, right?
Yeah. It could have gone really bad. It could have gone really bad. But she was really gracious and really kind. And it was... I mean, I've been listening to her for years, and so it was incredible to have someone who's inspired you to say that they're inspired by what you do and then want to be a part of it, which is an absolute privilege. And she's a queen. She literally is a queen. It was just an absolute honor and also really affirming just for my journey as well, you know.
You started in the lockdown writing. You were writing Honesty. What were your thoughts? Now it's like almost 2 years this thing is going on. What's happening in the UK? Because you guys had a lot of like on off like crazy. Like I thought I was getting dizzy.
Yeah.
How are people dealing with it over there?
Yeah. So over here, so as of next month, all COVID restrictions are finished. So there's no mask, no nothing. We're like back to normal life, and it's actually happening around parts of Europe as well, which is crazy. And the narrative is living with COVID because it's not going to go away, and we knew that already. But it's just how the world reacts to it, which has been varying, you know. Now life is pretty much back to normal. Very much back to normal. And I think also, unfortunately, due to various mishaps at government level and whatnot, they don't really care anymore across the board, you know. I think there's been a few things that have happened. Of course, people lose a bit of trust in some of our leaders. But, hey, people still want to be safe and they still value their loved ones. But they just, I think we're kind of over the whole COVID thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm seriously tired. Like, I want to, like, no, yes, you want to be able to hug people. You want to be able to, like, go to the club as you guys do or... You know, you want to hey, man, what you doing? Like, can we sit on the step and not, like, be worried about 6 feet apart? You know, seriously, you know, do you think over there that it's affected African Americans or blacks or, you know, people of African descent more than it has the population?
I think there's been quite a bit of skepticism amongst the ethnic minorities over here, Asians, blacks, ethnic minorities in general over here. We've just, I think the majority of people over here have been very much, this something's not right about this. Why has this been forced on us? What is going on? And then on top of it, there's about a massive percentage of our national healthcare doctors, surgeons who are not vaccinated, and they're like, listen, we work in this. We know how this works. We know how antibodies work. And so there's been a lot of people who are still not vaccinated. There's a massive, I think something like 5 million people in the country are not vaccinated. But it's one of those things which there are people that are vaccinated, and there's no sense of polarization anymore. There's no sense of it's you against me. That's not happening at all.
Okay.
But rather people are opening their eyes to, hey, what's the actual realities of this? And now we've bypassed what the government is saying, like, what do we believe for ourselves? And so people are kind of like, well, you know, some people have had COVID twice and they're fine. And so they're cracking on with life, whereas some people have lost their lives. And I think people are coming to their own conclusions is what I'm trying to say. And life is evolving and becoming something post-COVID.
Well, let's play good, because that's good that we're coming post-COVID. Playing with the,
Yuna,
on this is from your album Honesty, Jake Isaac.
Please tell me that you want this. Please stay, because I'm hopeless. You're staying. I don't think I could be with no one else. You're the only one.
If I told you this back then, would you listen? Would you be here now? Would it feel so dark?
I mean, I don't know who else is bopping. Like, my head was down, my shoulders were swinging. I was like, I'm like the person in the corner in the club. I'm not dancing, but I'm like, yeah, I'm here. Okay, yep, I got it. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, R&B. Okay, but let me tell you seriously. Like, over here in America, black people over here that I know, okay, I'm not talking for all black people, okay, not a monolith, but we always find it crazy that, like, you guys will be talking, you'll be like, so, like, yesterday, I went to the pub and this and that and other, and then you'd be like, and you sound like Billie Holiday or something. We're like, wait, what is that? How do you guys do that? I mean, do you know people? I mean, they sing like this R&B and it sounds like American, and we're like, how do you do that?
I mean,
I've
never thought of it like that. I don't know. I don't know how to ask you that.
I mean, it's just funny for us, like, because we hear your regular speaking voice and then you start singing. And, you know, it's just, like, crazy. But, like, for you, what do you find odd for black Americans? Like, what are some, like, idiosyncrasies we have that you find, like, what are they doing over there?
So I think one of the things that's always kind of baffled me is, so over in the UK, black people are very much either really strong African culture or really strong West Indian culture, like Caribbean culture.
Mm.
But in America, it's like a... It's actually an American culture. It's like, I'm an African-American, and it's like, it's rooted in American jokes and American history. And I suppose, like, maybe the first time I came to the Caribbean and, like, I spoke patois to someone, like, because I'm from the Caribbean originally, it baffled me that an African American back then didn't know what I was saying. I was like, well, you're black. Your family's either from Africa or from the Caribbean or by the Caribbean. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? So I think, I don't know, it's weird to me that as much as we black people over here are British in terms of our current culture, we're super connected to Africa or where our family heritage are from or from the Caribbean way more in a way than I've noticed when I've met people stateside.
Well, you know why that is, Jake Isaac? It's called slavery, dude. It's called Jim Crow. It's called lynching. It's called work in the field. Don't braid your hair. Don't speak your language. We're going to rip your families apart from each other. And we'll still do it now with redlining of housing, where you live, where you eat,
where
you're going to vote. And everything was white. Unless there's a few that still have a thread. They still have a thread. They know who their great-great-great-great-grandfather, grandmother was, and they have some threads connected. But, dude, that's the power of slavery. That was the power of it. We have absolutely no connection to the language. We don't know about the dress. We don't know about the hair. And it took us a while. Like, now, it's cool to be black. Now, I can go to work with my hair. You know, I'm black. I can go to work with my hair curly. And nobody's going to say anything and not think about it. You know what I'm saying? Especially for women, it's really hard. Like, dudes everywhere, you kind of just shave your hair down, right? You know what I mean? But for women, that acceptance, you know, of who I am as a black person, just with physical things that are slightly different, I couldn't do it, you know. But let's play another song. This is actually your take on her song, "Hard Place." And we'll talk about that. Hold on a second. I'm not trying to talk down to you because I know you know like our history and everything. But you guys also, like you talked about your dad with social justice, you guys were having a hard time over there as well, you know, with racism and different things. So we don't know your culture also and your struggle also just until recently with, you know, we have movies and social media and things. So we can see it's a global conspiracy, if you will. Okay, people of color is a global thing, and that's what people need to realize, you know, I think. Yeah. Now, let's talk about writing and where. Are you, like, in the bathroom? Are you in the cafe? I mean, are you on the top of a tree? Like, where do you write your music?
A lot of it happens in my home, whether it be on the kitchen floor, evening time.
That was funny.
A lot of the time it happens at night. In fact, if I'm really honest, a lot of songs get finished on a plane. If I'm on a plane, however long, and there's no reception, no signal, it's just perfect for me. I find that I really zone into what I'm writing.
Now, did you talk to your mates about this album and what it was going to be about? And did you get their input, just maybe some of their experiences that they've had with relationships and emotions and things like that?
Partly, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flight.
You want to fly? Yeah. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go if you could fly?
I mean, every now and then, you know, we need a holiday, so I don't know. Maybe like the Maldives. I don't know.
Oh, okay. You're the Maldives. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I could see that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No. that's a big spot right now. They have been pushing that on social media. Like every 5 minutes, I feel like I'm seeing something about the Maldives.
Yep.
Like, you should go here and the clear, super clear water. And you got a little house. You got a road to your little home in the middle of the water.
Totally.
And stay with your like, you know, your girl or your guy, you know, your bae. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So,
totally.
Now, I read, and this is crazy, but you said it. You said, I can sometimes be a right div and not always the easiest to be in a relationship with. Now, this was like years ago. That was in the article. Do you feel that way now? You're not the easiest person, or have you changed anything different?
I still feel like my insecurities speak really loudly when it comes to relationships. I sometimes think I'm super aware of my weaknesses, and not in a not in an insecure type of way, but more so in a way of knowing my like where I'm strong. So I don't do relationship from a place of weakness. I do it from a place of, okay, what's my strong? Okay, that's where I'm strong. That's where I know I can, you know, flourish in terms of relationally, and that's where I can't.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I think I'm learning to live with it, you know, just learning to live being aware of my weaknesses. And I think there's, I've learned that there's strength in being aware of one's weaknesses, you know?
You have to be. You have to be introspective in order to grow, in order to be like in an honest place, and you know, be like centered. When people, you know, when you get an argument with somebody and they're just like huffing and puffing, and they're not really there, you're like, where are you here? Like, are you really here? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, they're arguing about something. You're like, no, that's not what we were arguing about. What? Where are you? You know, So introspection it can never be downplayed. I think you always need to have that. What was your first job you ever had when you were a kid? Do you remember?
I was working in a shoe store called Clark's. And it was, I was a salesman of shoes, and I loved it. I was 16, and that was my bag. I was there for a few years, and I didn't save any money.
What did you buy? Like, what was the first thing you bought? Like, when you got your check, you were like, I'm out of here. What did you buy?
I didn't really go and buy something. Like, when I was at college, well, we call it college, but basically sixth form, just after school, I found myself going to the chicken shop after school because I had money. You know.
Oh my gosh, the chicken shop. What was your first crush? Do you remember your first crush when you were in school? The first girl you were like,
Yeah, it was one of my friends. It was a girl that he used to go out with. If I'm really honest, after you finished going out with her, because I went to an all boys school, and that's quite popular. That's quite normal over here. You have some all girls schools, some all boys schools, etc. And so I approached her discreetly and I said, "Hey, would you ever like go out with me and whatnot?" And she said no. And then later that day, literally 2 hours later in school, all the guys were just ripping me, taking the mick out of me because they all found out that I got turned down by this girl. And, that was my first crush.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. You know, it's funny. I went to an all-girl high school when I was younger. And like you said, that's not, like, a regular thing. But we do have some. Like, in my city, we have an all-girl high school and all-boy high school. But now, guess what? The all-boy high school got integrated with girls. I think the all-girl is still all-girl, though, but they think they allow some boys to take certain classes or something. How do you think that shaped you going to the all-boy school, or it was just no big deal, like you said?
I feel like it toughened me up quite a bit. It toughened me up quickly. It was cool. It was cool. It was a good laugh. It was a very good laugh.
Okay, we run out of time. Now, you talked about your West Indies background. What kind of food do you like? What's your favorite dish for, like, dinner or something?
Yeah, so stewed chicken, rice and peas. Stewed chicken, rice and peas. A good old Sunday stewed chicken and rice and peas. With some mac and cheese and sheesh, what else? Man, I had it just this Sunday, so I'm still thinking about it.
You're gonna have to do some of
that. Yeah, once that goes in, I'm sleeping. Literally, I'm sleeping.
Of course, you know what we call that here? We call that itis. You got
yeah,
itis.
Yeah, we call it the same.
You call it the same. Okay. Yeah, you can say that. You can say it. It's my show, goddammit. You can say it. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Definitely. Like, for holidays, you got mac and cheese. You got, you know, turkey, like Thanksgiving, which is the craziest thing. But for us, it's, like, about family. It's definitely not about killing Native Americans that is, like, banished or something. But after that meal, you're sitting in front of TV watching football, and I know it's not your football because yours is, like, football. Football.
Yeah,
okay, no, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But we're still sitting there with the itis and fall asleep, you know. Can you play football? Can you play, like, soccer football?
Yeah. I used to, not really that thing, but yeah, I used to.
You used to be a little bit, not like the semi-pro
basketball. Yeah, everyone did. Everyone, growing up, everyone does it.
Jake Isaac, thank you so much for calling in today. I've really enjoyed our chat. You know, bruv, next time I'm over, I'll come to your mama and get some chicken, peas, and rice.
Come on.
And some mac and cheese, and I'll have itis there. But I'll you know, winter,
come
we
on.
Can't get too much itis. We have to, like, be kind of proper a little bit. We don't want to, like, knock out. Like, that'd be rude. What should I bring your mom or dad? Like, what would I bring to your house? Like, what would be good to bring? Like, flowers or, like, dessert? Or, like, what would I bring to your house?
A dessert will go down nice. A dessert will go down real nice.
A dessert? And what kind of dessert should I bring? What kind of dessert should
I
bring?
Like, an apple strudel or a cheesecake.
Mm.
Okay,
I got you covered. We got a lot of Italian cookery bakeries here. Trust me, I got you covered, man.
Boom.
Bruv. All right, you guys have a great... I'm going to play another one of your songs, talk about it, to end the show. And I'm going to give away some downloads of your album, Honesty, to the crowd, to the people. And I wish you so much success. What are you going to do next? What's next? Are you going to, like, turn around and not be emotional? Or is the next album also going to be like... you know, are you going to let Machismo the next album?
No, I think I'm going to lean a bit more into just my culture and what I grew up listening to and who I am as a black guy. That's the plan. I'm doing a Europe tour of this album, so still got that to go. And then also I'm actually there's a show being planned at the moment for me to do, just like a one-off show in New York at the moment. I'm just popping up to the States for a little bit. So yeah, I'm gonna do that next, and as I go work on the album, just write the album as I go along.
When's your next show? Where can people find you next?
Sheesh. So my next show is I'm playing in Switzerland, and then I go for the rest of Europe. I'll do a festival in Switzerland, then I hit the rest of Europe, and so probably the best thing to do is Instagram. At I am Jake Isaac, or just have a Google of I am Jake Isaac, like sign up to the old subscription or whatever works for people. But Instagram's probably great.
And trust
Instagram
me, it'll be worth it. Everybody, it'll be worth it. Like, you're going to hate yourself because you're like, damn, I didn't know this guy before. And, like, which song should I play when the girl comes over and I really wanted her to get back?
Come on.
This is the album. This is the album. All right, Jake, I'm going to let you go. You have a great night because it's night over there. I'm going to let you go, all right?
I'll
talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with singer, songwriter, musician Jake Isaac, multi-talented. I'm going to give away some of his album. So check me out on Twitter, at Joy Keys. Also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You can also email me, Saturdays with Joy Keys. That's how you're going to win the prize. And you can check us out on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, iHeart Music, Amazon Music, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a great weekend. This weekend coming up, I'm going to speak with actress Sophina Brown from BET show The 20s. It's called 20s. It's a really great show. Check it out. It's second season already. Again, that's Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 19th. I'm going to end with Talk About It from Honesty by Jake Isaac.
Don't walk away, because if you go, I might not stay. No, don't you leave. You had enough, and I can see that our talk has turned to madness. It's become so calm and quietly. Oh, every time we talk about the same old thing, and every time we start at one and end at ten, just for once can we decide to open up instead of ending here. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. The way it hurts, the way it hides behind our words, when we don't want to say what's wrong. Can we talk about it before the love?